right, y'all come. We'll get started today. Man, I left my little notepad where I take my notes in the other room. Let me, oh no, here it is. It's just hiding underneath my iPad. All right, we are going to do coaching. Need to get my glasses clean too, because I can't see shit. So I'm going to bring up Heather first. Here's how today works in case you're brand new to us. I'm not sure if any new people are here yet. I almost think that we're not. We have just been trying to get new people to join this last week. We opened the doors for 5 days and they officially, I think at 2 p.m. today, get get access and stuff. So I don't know that if anybody new is here, but I will say this. Here's how it works. You raise your hand if you want to get coached. We're going to get through as many people as we can. And if you have questions, y'all can always just also ask questions in the Q&A. You do not have to. Oh, okay. Cam, she says, I'm new. Great. You can raise your hand and get coached, which means you can come on. You can talk to me. We'll work through some of your shit. You can also just put things in the Q&A if you have questions, especially as we coach and things like that. And I can also answer those. So, all right. Heather, you're going to be first. Oh, I'm over here trying to get comfortable. I've got a butt pad sitting here. It's supposed to make these chairs more comfortable, but I swear it's just, I feel like I just wrestle with it the whole time. All right. What are we coaching on?
Hello, I'm hiding from my children in my car.
That's all right. Mine's 23, and sometimes I hide in the house from him.
Okay, so I'm a returning member. I lost like 80 pounds and then I've gained 40 pounds back. And so I'm a daily planner. I plan every day. I've got waiting for hunger on lock. My issue is drinking and eating while drinking. Like 100%. I might overeat sometimes at dinner just like because I'm paying less attention. That is a possibility, but like the low hanging fruit is the alcohol. And so,
So
and
what
what
are
my
you
alcohol.
doing about now that you know that? What are you going to do about that problem? Since it's running in direct conflict with what you want.
Yeah. So I rejoined. That was one thing that I did. I've rejoined the membership. One of the times that I was having alcohol last week, I got on the mindful drinking group and asked somebody to check in on me a couple times in the night and the next day and committed to like what I was going to have. And that worked really well having, because I have an accountability partner. We've been together a long time. So sometimes you don't feel as bad telling him you went off plan again because you've told him like a million times already. So having a new person to like hold me accountable really helped. But then, like, I tried to do
It
the same.
helped though. I think you think it was the new person, and you're like, this is what we do to ourselves. When we change something, we like say, well, it must have been them. And we forget to look inside and say, it had to have been me. So I need to
Yeah.
find what was going on in me that made this different. Because it's not a reliable, repeatable process to say, I know how I'll be successful. I'm going to depend on you. And then I'm waiting on you to always be there. And always, you got to have the perfect day every day. And you've got to be just sitting by your phone waiting for me. So we never want to put our ability into someone else's hands.
Yeah.
So what do you think actually did happen?
Well, it was me wanting to show someone else that, like, I'm reliable and I'm good at this. And, yeah, it was like pride, I guess, like caring what someone else thinks.
Okay, so now let's think about this. That was a great band-aid for that situation.
Yeah.
But long term, for you to lose your weight, doing it for somebody else to be proud of you, and to make sure that you don't look bad in front of somebody else, is that going to be long-term fuel?
Well, no. I mean, logically, no. Yeah, it was just kind of like a, okay, what can I do that's different?
than what I've
Yeah,
been doing.
right. But I want you to see, like, I was like, here's what I did. I got creative. I tried a new solution. That part, like, I can take ownership. Like, I can repeat being creative. I can repeat coming up with new solutions to try. I can repeat reaching out for help. You also could get trapped into repeating trying to please others, trying to look good for someone. And as you've seen with your current accountability partner, that runs out. After a while, you don't care. You just don't ask for help anymore. You fix that real quick. Like, oh, I know how not to look bad. I mean, if that's my motivation not to look bad, I just won't tell her what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I won't ask for help anymore. Problem solved. So I just want you to like be thinking about as we work through this. If you know that you're gaining weight because you drink and you eat like shit when you do it, is that kind of what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the majority of the time it's like once I've had like three drinks, then it's like I'm not even trying to resist the snacks. It's just like, oh yeah.
Then let me ask you this, because I'm going to tell all of you, I have no problems with alcohol and y'all drinking and stuff. Here's what I have a problem with, though. Women who live their lives desperately wanting to lose weight and also holding on to something that's preventing it. Because now you're miserable.
Yeah.
Because I'm just caught between I want and I'm going to keep doing something that I have already diagnosed. Literally causes me so much pain over here. And so we have to start thinking about like your drinking is telling you several things. Number one, you can't drink three if you want to lose weight. Not because of calories, but because at three, you can't make a good decision anymore. You have said, hey, the version of you who wants to lose weight, get in the goddamn closet and I'm slamming the door and I'm gonna put like headphones on you. Because she's not going to be able to talk to you. You're literally muzzling her at that point. Now, if you want to muzzle her, you need to start telling yourself, if I want to drink three drinks, I know what's going to happen. I am literally shutting down the part of me that's going to watch out for me, that's going to make the good decisions. She doesn't have a voice after three. Do I want to do that tonight or not? Because this is where alcohol's different than anything else. Alcohol scientifically, so you have like two big parts of your brain. I taught it in a new way yesterday, and I'm going to introduce it to you. There's like the logical part I always call, and we call her the planner brain. She like thinks about goals. She's planning long term. She's very interested in you losing 40, was it 30 or 40 pounds?
It's 40 now, yeah.
Okay, 40. I couldn't remember what you said. She's like, I want to lose 40 pounds and I want to wear these clothes and we're going to feel this way. Like, in her, like that part of your brain has the ability to reason and to look at situations and say, like, okay, it won't be fun right now, but here's all of our goals and our dreams. She's very aspirational. And she makes wise decisions because she calculates and she looks at the data and she thinks things through and she reasons. The other part of your brain is called the relief brain. And the relief brain does not care about your goals. The relief brain is like, three drinks is a damn party. I mean, we'll be better tomorrow. We might as well wash this down with Taco Bell. I mean, if we're here, let's have a good time. Let's not just, you know, like they literally. The relief brain and the planner brain, they are always operating, okay? I want you to know they're always there, except when you are under the influence, when you are tired, when you are hungry, when you are stressed, you're overwhelmed. The planner part of your brain is designed to shut down. The relief part of your brain, when you're tired and stressed and drinking and things like that, its job is to become the boss. Its whole job is to say, like, I have to take over. This is in the moment decisions. And in the moment decisions are, I just take into consideration absolutely what you want right now. I do not take into consideration anything you want long term. So We have to know that because when you just said, Corinne, at three drinks, I know that's when it goes to shit. Like you told me, at three drinks, I don't make good decisions anymore. So you now have a pattern. And then your decision now is, am I going to keep drinking three drinks or not? And why? Am I choosing whatever I choose?
Well, the reason I keep choosing it is because I tell myself it'll be boring without it. And it's like two nights a week, so it's not like every night or anything. But like my husband and I just went out Friday night, and we went out early because the movie was early, so we ate early, and I had like two drinks at the meal, and then I had two drinks at the theater, and that was what I planned. But then I went home and had two drinks because we got home at like 8 p.m. and we weren't going to bed yet. So, and then because of that, we ate like a bunch of popcorn and stuff at home. And so, logically in my brain, and I knew this because I talked to my accountability partner, but I was like, what I should do is just like wait and not drink at all until I get home because I know the earlier I start.
No, that is the wrong. You're trying to, like, you've got a huge on fire emotional emergency happening. And you're like, well, I don't want to address why my life is so boring.
But I don't
I
think
mean,
my
I'd
life
like to
really is
just keep my
boring.
boring ass life. And so I can drink alcohol so that I don't have to think about, like, alcohol doesn't make it fun. You know what alcohol does? Make you stop thinking about what you don't like in this moment. It's not increasing, like you need to like really see that. The booze is not making the moment fun. It's shutting your thoughts down that this is boring. Why is your life on date night or whatever? Why are you calling it boring? Why is it not exciting and fun?
I guess maybe I don't like super duper enjoy my husband's company.
Oh, so now this is what I'm saying. You're trying to tell me I would much rather like plan to have drinks at home instead of either figuring out how to enjoy his company or talk to him about the things I don't enjoy, speak up for my needs. It's like, no, I probably should just keep boozing it up. That'll solve my marriage.
But also, I think the other thing too is that I don't want to be like sitting there the whole time resisting the drinking.
Right. You could be sitting there thinking about a thousand things. You could be like, I shouldn't drink. I shouldn't drink. I shouldn't drink. Or you could sit there and say, I need to notice what I don't like about this and just make sure that I don't like it. I need to like sit and really be aware of what I think when I'm not clouded with alcohol about my marriage so I can work on that. You need to sit there and do that. You don't need to be trying not to drink. You need to be sitting there saying, like, if I actually want to lose weight, I got to lose the weight of thinking that I don't like my husband right now. I know this is not the answer you want. Everybody always just wants me to somehow wave some magic dust. It's like, oh, wait a minute. For you in particular, I've got like a here's a little vial. Next time you go out drinking, drink this and you won't break out in fat and eat food. You will continue to do this if what's fueling your drinking is like, I really don't like what's going on right now in my marriage. And I'm not saying you have like a broken marriage, but every single time, every moment it gets boring, every moment you don't like sitting there, you will want to drink more. You will make promises to only drink this many. And every time, if you're not focused on fixing the marriage, then if you choose not to drink, you will be so focused on just don't drink, just don't drink. You will be sitting there making yourself miserable instead of sitting there and working on what's really going on.
So practically, how do I do that? Like, I mean, I know don't drink, but like practically, how do I work on what's going on?
You just listen. If you're not drinking, you will hear. Like when your brain wants to say, like, this sucks because we're not drinking, you need to say, like, but why? What about this sucks? What do I not like that's happening right now with him? I know my problem is. My problem isn't that I'm not drinking. My problem is that when I don't drink, I don't like things that are happening. I don't enjoy these things. And if I don't know what I'm not enjoying and stuff, how am I ever going to fix it? Like, I go
Yeah.
out with my husband a lot. I used to drink with him all the time. I am like probably 50% of the time I drink now, maybe. And like a drink. And the only reason why I drink half the time now is because we have a sports bar and they always have new drinks and they want us to test them before we lose money on them. Like mine is more business related than it is anything. I would love to not even half the time drink them. Most of the time they suck and I only drink a couple sips. I'm like, well, I bet other people will like it. I don't. But when I'm with my husband, if he's annoying me, I want to know that so that we can have a conversation later about it. If he's actually more fabulous than I think, because a lot of times I'm just like in the cloud of alcohol or whatever, I also want to know that. I just want you to see that your drinking doesn't have anything to do with drinking's making it more fun. I want you to forever now tell yourself, drinking shuts down the very parts of my life experience that I don't want to face right now. That's what I'm drinking over right now. Otherwise, because you want to lose weight so bad, you wouldn't break your word to yourself. Like if you just
Yeah.
enjoyed a drink or you just enjoyed, like let's say we both like, what's your favorite drink that you like?
Well, my favorite or what I usually have.
That's
Probably my
even
favorite would be like a margarita, but in general I drink Trulies, like hard seltzers. Yeah, that's what I usually drink.
okay. Well, let's say we're gonna have a margarita.
Okay.
Because I believe alcohol should be just like food. Like I'm sure the reason why you drink Trulies is so you can drink more, because you probably can only drink one margarita with all the calories, but you also don't get to have what you want. Like, I just don't
Yeah.
even think you're watching how often, like, how many places you're just like, God damn. When we start really looking at my alcohol, it's not fun. I'm not even drinking what I want. I'm just trying to get a buzz so I don't have to see what I don't want. And that is important when it comes to the alcohol and with food for all of you, honestly. Tell the truth of what's happening. So often, it's worse with alcohol, I think. We have this, we talk about it very sexily and like in a way that's like, why would we ever want to let go of something if we say it's the way we have fun?
Yeah.
Then the moment, if that's all that can make you have fun with your husband on a date night, we remove that. We've literally just said, you're not allowed to have fun anymore in your marriage. So there's zero motivation. I mean, it, like, we don't think that that's what we're doing, but that is exactly what we're doing. And then we're like, I just don't understand. Why do I have such a hard time? Like, in the moment, I just end up drinking. It's like, we never, we didn't end up here. We just didn't really look at it as to what's happening for us. So practically speaking, you go out and you tell yourself, I'm going to have the real experience of date night tonight. Tonight I'm just not going to drink. And I'm going to hear everything that I think. And all the thoughts of it's not fair, I wish I was drinking and stuff like that. You just need to like say, I understand that. That is just my brain. That stuff, like it's not fun. You know, they get to drink, I don't. None of that is your problem. You need to just remind yourself, that's what my brain thinks when I change a pattern. I have changed a pattern, so my brain is naturally going to fight for me to do what I've been doing. It's also going to fight for me to do it because it knows that there's something about this experience I need to know. And if it's going to be hard for you to hear, or something that you're going to be ashamed to hear, like I don't think you're going to be ashamed, but sometimes what we do is we have like thoughts of, well, if I hear these thoughts, it means I'm a bad wife. If I know what's actually going on, it means my marriage must be in trouble. And when we have like a story around what we're thinking like that, your brain will also fight harder to get you to drink because it will be like, hey, don't uncover the danger stuff. Let's just stay over here, 40 pounds heavier, enjoying our drinks. You can tolerate being miserable with your weight. I watch you do it all the time. That's not an emergency.
Yeah.
So you listen for it and you just keep challenging yourself. So, like, I know I have changed my pattern, but I really want to know why I don't have a good time on my date nights with my husband. I really want to understand that. I want to understand what it is about our relationship that right now I need to hear. Then you can get more coaching on that, and that is going to solve all of it.
Okay.
Do you have a guess as to what it is, other than you just, because you just said, I just, what'd you say? You didn't say you don't like him, but.
We just, I mean, at the beginning of our relationship, that's how we met. We met at a bar. We did a lot of drinking in the early parts of our relationship, and now we drink less than we used to. We've got 5 young kids, you know, and so, but we just, I don't know, we're out. It's just, I feel like we don't have anything to talk about. His interests aren't really my interests. He doesn't seem that interested in things going on in my life. I don't know, it's just kind of boring conversation or no conversation.
Well, that is what I would know. And then I would go to work on that part. Like, we're at a stage in life where we're not, like, it doesn't seem like he's interested in me. It sounds like you're not interested in him either. You're calling him boring and saying, and
Yeah.
sometimes we don't even talk. So like both of us are going to probably, like, for the health of the marriage, is it better for you to go out and drink together? Or is it for one of you, meaning you, because you're the one that wants to lose weight, you're the one that's the one who's growing and coaching and doing all the things, you're probably going to be the one in the relationship that says, hey, I've just noticed, I feel like sometimes you're not interested in my stuff, and I think sometimes I'm not interested in your stuff. Maybe we should just have some, maybe we should talk about that. Especially when you got 5 kids. Because I'm just going to tell you, as somebody who's coached millions of women, I feel like at this point, especially marriage. What's the youngest?
7-year-old twins.
Okay. You have 11 years of this. And what I find what happens with most marriages is no one in the relationship takes the time to notice at this stage we're drifting apart. Nobody notices that the parents aren't keeping the marriage alive. You're drinking so you don't have to see that it's withering on the vine. And if you keep drinking, you're going to wait. I will bet you there are women in this chat right now who will tell you your kids are going to go off to college. They're going to move out of the house, and you're going to look at each other and you're going to be like, what the hell happened? I don't even know you. And I don't even know if I want to know you. My husband always says, like, he and I have, we were like, I always say one of the biggest blessings we ever had is like, it's when Logan got diagnosed with autism. My husband and I are hardcore workaholics. Always have been. We always will be. It is very easy for us to go days in a house and not speak because we will just work and we will work and we will work and we won't even look up. And I mean, it can be like 3 days and I'll be like, I hadn't seen you except to go to bed. But when Logan was diagnosed, he was 5. We were kind of just in the throat. I was like losing my weight, starting my business. He was an executive. Like, we didn't do date nights. We didn't do anything. When Logan was born, he was a very hard child. He sucked all the oxygen out of the room. And we went to a conference the day after he was diagnosed. And they said that 85% of marriages with a child on the spectrum will end in divorce. And I mean, we went to the hotel room that night. We cried our eyes out. We were just so new to this. We like my husband had no idea. I thought he was autistic. Look, Chris had no idea. Like it was basically like a bomb had been dropped on us. And we made a pact that night that autism would not destroy our marriage. And we were going to figure this out. And we did date night after date night after date night ever since, figuring out how to keep our love alive, because there was between building businesses, him having an executive role, a child on the spectrum. We had so many things pulling at us to destroy our marriage. We knew that marriage isn't something you're given, it's something you do. And so I would just like, I'm just so glad you got coached today, because I don't want you thinking that you just need more tips and strategies and more trulies and more like things like that.
Yeah.
When the real problem is sitting here saying, like, you really just want to work on your marriage. You want to have a good time with your husband. And you're thinking the alcohol is doing it. It's like, no, the alcohol is preventing you from figuring out why you're not able to have a good time with him without it. Now, if you want to keep planning to have a couple of drinks or something, knowing that past two is when you go to Shitsville with the food. Like, there's nothing wrong with that piece, because I'm not demonizing the alcohol. I'm just saying, don't miss the real problem trying to just work on your weight. Because I don't
Yeah.
want you to lose 40 pounds and still be going out on date night and not enjoying your fucking husband.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, what are your thoughts since I've done all the talking?
Sorry, there's so much. Hello. Yeah, you can go knock on the door. Neighbor girl. So yeah, my thoughts are also that I'm glad I got coached because yeah, I was just kind of looking for like practical things, and this helped me kind of realize like kind of the deeper work that needs to be done. I will say, you know, you talk about like talking to him and like saying like I noticed, you know, you don't really seem that interested in my stuff, and maybe I'm not really interested in your stuff. A lot of that is, you know, we have had hard conversations before. We've tried to do like marriage counseling. It like was really didn't go well. And so it's kind of easier. Like we are staying together. Like we're not gonna split up. So like I don't have any worries about that. But sometimes when I hear what he really thinks about our relationship or what he really thinks about me, that's like I just don't want to go there, because I would rather just not know that, because I don't really like his opinions.
Well, and I'm sure he probably doesn't like yours of his. So this is what I always challenge people on, is if you don't want to do all that, you basically have two options. And both are equally as useful. And eventually, if you do one that's easier for now and you want to do the other one later, it's fine. Option one is to think about, all right, knowing I'm not going to drink, knowing that my husband's boring, like knowing all this, and I'm not leaving this marriage and we're staying together. Who do I want to be in that situation? Because right now, I don't think you've actively chosen it. I think you have decided to be a drinker so that you don't have to deal with it. And that's who you've, what I call, unconsciously chosen to be. I have unconsciously chosen to drink to make this situation better. And if you want to lose weight, there's just no way anybody loses weight when they drink or eat to make a situation better. That is like the literal heart of everything that we teach in OBS. It's no
Yeah.
different than if you were to tell me, I go out on date night and I eat a whole plate of nachos because I'm bored with my husband.
Yeah.
It's just never going to work. And that's just me telling you the truth. So you want to make sure that if this is what you're saying is like, so my reality is I'm not going to talk to him. These conversations haven't gone well. We haven't done these things, but I'm also not leaving. So knowing all of that, I need to consciously decide who I'm going to be in this marriage for me so that I don't have to drink in order to go out on date night, but then sabotage other things that I want out of my life, which is to lose my 40 pounds.
Yeah.
The other side is kind of what you said. It's like he has thoughts and opinions about you, and you don't want to hear them. And it's not because he doesn't have good thoughts and opinions about you. It's because when you hear them, you internalize that in some way that makes it so bad that you would not want to hear it. And it's just to know that, because if you could get to a point to where he could say, like, I don't even know what he would say. Like, let's just pretend he's like, you're a bitch ass mother. Like, it's like he said that. And you don't agree. You're like, nah, I'm raising these five kids. You want to be able to think, like, what is better for me? To be someone who shields herself from other people's truths and opinions and things, or to be someone that learns how to be there for herself when she hears the truths and opinions of other people that she doesn't agree with. So it's kind of like the same thing. It's like deciding right now, you've unconsciously decided that if y'all have a conversation and he shares with you all the things he doesn't like, you've kind of unconsciously decided to be hurt, to be, don't take this wrong, so delicate that you can't handle it. Otherwise, we wouldn't want to hear it. Like, we would be okay with hearing it. It doesn't mean it always feels amazing. There's a difference between being willing to hear hard truths and like being like, I can handle any feeling that I have. Because I know any feeling I have is coming from me. And so I want to decide, how do I want to be in situations where I'm going to hear hard things? Things that are probably going to hurt me at first. And then who do I want to be in that moment? For me. Not for him, because on that side is also the opportunity to kind of like really build a better relationship with yourself. Because now we're not making it about him and his thoughts and opinions. We're making it about how do I hear things and be able to comfort myself, reason with myself, soothe myself, understand what this could mean. Like I think we forget sometimes, and in the vein to protect ourselves, we also cut ourselves off from the very things that are going to help us for ourselves. So it's your choice. You don't have to like go into the lion's den and have the conversation until you're really ready, or you may never want to. It may be just enough for you to be like, you know what? I know how he is and all the things, and this is how I'm going to be for me throughout this relationship, knowing all of that. Because who you are for you is 100% in your control.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really helpful.
Okay. Feel free, if you want, as you work through some of this stuff, take it to coaches.
Yeah.
Use, like, ask coaches, because this is not easy to do on your own. This is like
Yeah.
the stuff that it's really good when you got somebody else's perspective, just sometimes asking you the right questions. Sometimes giving you, I would try this, whatever it is. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye bye. Where's that little button? Shit, I can't see crap. Zoom has got so many little pop-ups. There we go. Let me grab a few questions out of here. I want to say this. I've recently done this. So I talked to my father 2 weeks ago. My stepmother has been in the hospital. She's now in a rehabilitation center. She's terrible health. Her liver is, she's got all kinds of problems with her liver. Her kidneys are starting to, she's now on dialysis. She's got lung issues. Like, it's amazing that this woman is, you know, I always find it amazing when someone can take really good care of themselves and then just drop dead. And then you've got somebody who, she did not take really good care of herself, and she's got so many issues going on. And it's like her poor body won't give up. She doesn't even want to live anymore. And yet she just, it just keeps hanging on and hanging on, and she's in a lot of pain. So anyway, I was talking to my dad, and I had to get some coaching on it with my coach, and we've been going back and forth on this because it was really difficult for me. For the first time in my life, I felt sorry for him. It's been hard for me because I've spent the vast majority of my life mad, disappointed, and then moved into a phase of just, this is who he is. I just kind of accepted him for who he is. And so when I was talking to him, I just felt so much pity for him. I mean, he just, things that he was saying, I just knew was, had to be hard for him. I mean, I don't even want to go into all of it, but anyway, my coach and I were talking about it because I'm still upset. And she was telling me, she was like, Corinne, like, I was like, I feel like I need to be a part of his life again. And we were just kind of working through the reasons why, because I have a tendency for when people are in trouble to fix everything. Because I've always been the fixer since I was a small child. I have always handled all the responsibility. I take everything on, and I'm good at it. Like, it's not one of those things, you know, like some people take all the things on and they feel terrible about it and they wear themselves out and burn out. That's not me. The more I take on, it's almost like the stronger I get. And the more, I don't know. What we talked about was, I knew that was my tendency so that I wouldn't have to feel uncomfortable. So I wouldn't have to think about really establishing a true relationship. It would just be easy for me to just figure out, what can I fix here? And so she just asked me, she's like, Corinne, knowing your father and knowing that you are scared you'll get hurt again, and knowing that, you know, he probably will disappoint you, and he will never be the father you want and that you dream about and stuff. Now, who do you want to be for you through this? As you bring this back into your life, how do you want to be? Who do you consciously choose to be this time? For the version of you who's likely to get hurt and disappointed, and who do you want to be in the moment that you want to just fix things to feel better? And it was just such a really good conversation she and I had. And I just share it with y'all because I don't think we realize very often, we just never ask ourselves that question. You know, some of us have difficult partners, difficult parents, difficult children, difficult coworkers, difficult everything, difficult friends. And we're not getting rid of them. And they're not changing. And we have to quit wishing they would or expecting them to do better. Like, there's the two sides on that relationship. There is the, I wish you would do these things. If only you would do these things. Then there's the other side of, you should be this person. You should. They have different energies. One is like, you get stuck in pining and waiting. And the other one, there's like judgment, and like, it feels like you're fighting, and there's almost venom behind it. And neither of which are helpful. And so we don't even think about that stuff. So when we think about people that are going to hurt us, that aren't going to live up to our expectations, who aren't going to change, because this is the reality of having this person in our life. Now, who do we want to be for ourselves, given that we are putting ourselves actively in that situation? And I just think it's the one place, because with relationships in particular, they get scary and they get hard when you feel like you can't control it. And we're never in control of anyone else. There is an illusion that we control people. We don't. And so I just think it's helpful. How do I stop being obsessed with the scale? I weigh myself every day without fail and let the scale dictate my mood when whether it's up or down. I expect to lose every day because I had weight loss surgery in August. Well, number one, August was like basically forever ago. So when you like with any kind of weight loss, whether it's the shot, whether it's the basics, it's keto, it's Weight Watchers, it's weight loss surgery, it does not matter what it is. There is a period when you're doing all the things where your weight will be dropping because your body is like thrown into shock. Like, let's say that before weight loss surgery, you were eating 3,000 calories a day. At 3,000 calories a day, every week you would gain probably a pound. Okay. If you have weight loss surgery and now you can only ingest 1,200 for a while, you will be losing probably daily because there's such a radical shift into how much food you can consume, right? Well, eventually your body normalizes to that. And eventually that is what's supposed to happen. This for your health, your well-being, your body is supposed to do what's called homeostasis. It's supposed to adapt to the new normal so that it can stabilize itself and start losing weight at a rate at which your metabolic system, your bones, your muscles, and your organs can legit tolerate for a long time. So when you're upset about it, you need to ask yourself, what is better, dying sooner or losing weight faster? Because that is like right now, that's kind of what you're wanting. You're just like, well, I'd rather have the weight loss. Which it makes sense because we want immediate gratification. When you weigh, your brain is not thinking about future you who's going to be thin in 30 years from now. You're thinking about today's misery. I want out of this. So the best way, there's a couple things. We have a program inside of No BS called Conquering the Scale. I would take that. That'd be one thing I would do. The second thing I would do is I would stop weighing every day. It's not helping you. So, when we talk about the scale, if you weigh every day and you legit get on the scale daily, and I've had periods where I do both, okay? If you weigh every day and you really are just like, oh, okay, it's up a pound a day. I'll give you an example. I don't weigh every day at all, okay? I weigh once a week, sometimes twice. If I just happen to be butt naked and I'm just like, well, let me just go ahead because I'm a naked weigher. But I weighed in on, was it yesterday? Oh my God, y'all cannot even believe how busy this week has been for me. I cannot remember the days. It was yesterday because I weighed this morning. I weighed yesterday and it was up like 2 pounds from what I normally am. And I was like, that's probably not accurate. Like, that was like the first thought that I had in my mind. That's probably not accurate because this week I have drank a lot of water. This week has also been very stressful. I worked till 8 o'clock one night. I'm in bed asleep by 8 o'clock, 7:30 every night. For me to still be working in my office at eight, like, I don't know how a pig didn't fly by my window. Stress was happening this week. I actually missed some meals this week. So I knew when I weighed yesterday, I was like, this just can't be accurate. This has to be a very stressful week. I surely am holding some like your body loves to hold water, especially when you're stressed. So the way cortisol works in the body, there's like all these little molecules that happen in your body. And cortisol in particular, when it's elevated, like it needs water. So it like draws water in. Okay. So if you're like really stressed, you could like see the scale bump up. Well, mine was, even my Oura Ring was telling me all week long. Your stress levels seem to be higher than usual this week. You had more stressful hours this week than you normally do. So, and I was just really focused. I wasn't like sitting around biting my nails. It just, I had a lot going on. So that just makes you, like for me, stress comes through as extra focused, not taking a lot of breaks, like getting things done. I weighed again this morning because I got a good night's sleep. I didn't have to work late yesterday. I watched a movie with Chris last night. I went to bed at a good hour, like all these things. And I worked out yesterday at the end of the day. I decided to treat myself and go get my last workout in. Like I was just like all the things. And I went to bed in a good mood instead of going to bed anticipating what I had to do the next day. Well, I got on the scale this morning. It was down, back down 2 pounds. Now, I didn't like eat a lot less yesterday or do any shenanigans. I just had it in my head that there was a reasonable explanation. And so you can weigh daily if every day you're going to be looking at it through the lens of there's a reasonable explanation. You know, if the scale goes up and you ate like a jackass, that's the reasonable explanation. And so, like, if for me, if I had an overeat or I was, you know, doing emotional eats this week, I would be able to weigh and be okay with it. 'Cause I would say, like, I understand this week I was really stressful and I ate over it. That makes sense. So, knowing that the scale is up, what it's telling me is that I can't expect losses when I'm eating. Because I'm having long days, because I'm eating because life's hard right now. And that allows me that data to go and look at the real problem in the room, just like with our drinker. Like there's a reasonable explanation as to why she's drinking more than she wants, even though she wants to lose weight. So we have to always look for the, like, really write this down. We're always looking for a reasonable explanation. What hoses people on the scale is you look at it and you find a personal explanation as to why that happened. It's because I suck at losing weight. It's because this just isn't working. This is because I can't get my shit together. This is because I always do good and somehow screw it up. If you are going to weigh and only tell a one-sided personal explanation of it, the scale is going to be hard for you. It will not be because the scale is up. It will not be because you had overeats. It will not be because it is the scale and the number. It will always be because you're not noticing what you're thinking about when you see these numbers. It's so important for number one, y'all to quit telling one-sided stories. If you're going to tell a personal story, then you should at least give yourself a reasonable story also. The other thing is I would work on what you want your relationship with the scale to be. Knowing I'm going to have times when the scale goes up. Knowing I'm not going to lose weight every single day anymore, that ship has already sailed. Knowing I have unreasonable explanations around why the scale's not going down every single day, now who do I want to be in that moment? Because that's what you're going to have to start with first. Your brain is going to think like an asshole, it is going to offer those things up because it does. Now, but with wisdom that you just got now, you don't get to go back to ever saying the scale triggers me or the scale is hurting my feelings or whatever. Now you have wisdom. It will be your choice to decide. And when I think those things, who do I want to be in that moment? How do I want to talk to myself about it when I think these things? There is a term for this. It's called metacognition. It's basically everything that I teach y'all. I was reading something the other day about studies, and they say high IQ people, okay, are smart, but they're not always intelligent. And I get it. I've got a husband who tests in the top 0.5% in the world in IQ. Chris is really, really, really intelligent, very intelligent. But he also is emotionally intelligent. And he's a rare unicorn in the world. But what they were talking about is just because you like have all the book smarts and all the thing, it doesn't mean that you have what we call metacognition, which really makes you truly intelligent. And I am uneducated. But when I read this article, I was like, oh my God, no wonder I do so good at shit because I have this. Like I'm like dripping in metacognition. And all it is most people are going to go through life thinking, I am fat. I am a diet failure. I can't lose weight. The scale bothers me. And they're just gonna be like, girl, I'm just spitting truths. That's all I'm doing. I'm just spitting truths at you all day long. When you're meta cognitively smart, you can do this. I notice I'm thinking that I'm fat. I notice that I think I fail all the time. I can hear myself saying the scale should be moving down. The first part of being like metacognitively smart is simply the ability to know the difference between what's real and what you're thinking. It has nothing to do with changing your thoughts. It has nothing to do with anything other than, so that's why I tell so many of you, if you will just, you know how I have notice and narrate in all of our programs now? Most people, if they spent their life doing more noticing and narrating what they're thinking, you would feel 1,000% better without ever having to journal, without ever having to get coached, without having to do anything. You don't need to do anything complicated, but you got to get good at hearing shit you say, especially the shit you say that makes you feel bad. Because if you're thinking it and it causes a feeling, that is not a fact. That is now a thought. And lots of thoughts feel really true. Like y'all will argue with me that you have failed every diet before. How many of you would love to just have a pissing contest with me on proven? You don't understand. I've failed every time. And you just think it's true. You're like, let me go get my receipts from weight loss or Weight Watchers. I'll show you my failures. And I just want all of you to see, you argue for pain because ain't nobody sitting around talking about all the times they failed at Weight Watchers thinking, and good for me. If you were proud of it, we wouldn't have to have that conversation. But it feels like ass. And the more you feel like ass, what do? Give up and quit and eat. All right. Now, here's my truth. You don't know when the next time's going to work. You have no clue when you're going to unlock this puzzle. It's also true. It's 100% true. And yet, nobody wants to think that. They're so worried that they'll get disappointed. They're so worried they'll be hurt if it doesn't work out, so they don't try at all. And I'm like, well, good for you. You just delivered the one thing you're most afraid of. You just gave yourself the gift of failing without trying. If the worst that's going to happen is that you try and it doesn't happen, I don't think that's the worst thing that happens. The worst thing that happens is it was going to work, but you didn't try for fear that it wouldn't work. That's the worst possible outcome you can have. And we don't think about that stuff. And so, when you use metacognition, you become the person who notices what you think. And you just say it. I notice I'm thinking I can't do this. I notice I'm thinking This is hard for me. Y'all think hard for me is a fact also. I was coaching someone in our group that we're trying to get to join Novia's, and she was just insisting, "You don't understand. This is hard for me." And I said, "I understand that you think it's hard for you. I also understand that we can make things easier. I wonder how." That is absolutely true too. Something that's hard for you can focus on how hard it is, or you can focus on, I wonder how many ways I'm making this harder than it needs to be. I wonder how many things I'm doing or that I'm not doing that could make this a lot easier. Because that also is true. And it feels better. And the outcomes of that are always so much better. The second part of metacognition that is powerful, which is when I was just like, chef's kiss, this is me. I'm really good at noticing my thinking. Every time I start like feeling really terrible, when I was angry a few times this week, I was highly agitated a few times this week. There was like things going on. I notice it so much now when it's happening that I can automatically say, okay, Corinne, I notice that you're really angry right now. Just saying that right there always reminds me that I'm thinking about a situation in the worst possible way. And that is why I'm angry. And it always makes sense to me that I know deep down in 2 to 3 days, whatever I'm so pissed about in this moment, I will probably have less piss and a little perspective, or will have moved on. And that's just super helpful for me. And the other side is when you catch yourself in the midst of doing something. This is like the ultimate skill. When you catch yourself in the middle of doing something and you notice it and you redirect without drama. It's like saying, I notice, like I do this all the time. Like I almost always order individual bags of chips so that I don't get caught just eating out of a big ass bag. Every now and then, the individual bags, we can't get them. And so we have to order the big bags because I like to have chips most days of the week with my lunch. And when we get the big bag, I am bad to not portion it, knowing I probably should. And so I will sit on the couch. And I'll be like y'all thinking, I'm just gonna have a few with my lunch. This will be all right. Because it's the quickest way for me to get fed. And then I'll be eating and I will notice, like, oh, I'm still just like lunch is done, but I'm just sitting there thinking about going back to work over some chips. Now, metacognition is the ability to catch that moment and say, like, oh, okay, let me put these away. I wasn't going to do that. What most of us do is the opposite of that. Overreact. Oh my God, I fucked the whole day up. I bet I gained weight this week. I might as well just eat these chips. Why do I even bother? We go down shit road. So for all of you, the reason why I share this is because if you want to get some weight off and you want to get it off quick, the fastest way to do it is to get really good at paying attention to what you think and catching yourself in the act of doing things and calmly redirecting and not making it a big fucking deal. We all suffer from one common thing, and it's not our weight. Our weight is a result of this. We make a big fucking deal out of the littlest of things. Look at the landscape of your life. How many places are you making a big fucking deal out of little things simply because you're not even aware you're doing it? If I could cut one behavior out of y'all, it would be catastrophizing. Or as my friend, Warren calls it hypothetical hell. What if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? Never feels good. All right, let me bring up the next person. Hillary. Well, where's Hillary? Hillary, are you coming? Hang on, let me try one more time. Oh, somebody asked, I just joined. When do we get access to the website? Is somebody from my team here? If you are, I know you're not on stage. Can you just message me in the Q&A? I believe new people's stuff is going out at 2 p.m. today. But I want to know from the team, how are they finding this call if they haven't gotten their 2 p.m. stuff? So I'm just curious if somebody could post. I don't know if anybody's here, but that would be awesome if somebody would tell me. All right. What you need help with today, Hillary?
Hey, so okay. I was really resonating whenever you were talking about your mom and reaching out to your dad and family, stuff like that. My mom is in the hospital and has been since Thanksgiving with the brain bleed, and she's not doing well. Anyway, she and I have had a really terrible relationship, especially since I became a mother. And all of that to say, I've gained 13 pounds since Thanksgiving. Today was the first day that I weighed myself since all of this happening. And I have, I guess, like I'm feeling a lot of like self-pity and like feeling sorry for myself. I feel defeated. I feel
Because of the weight gain or your mother's situation?
because of the weight gain, I was feeling helpless about my mother's situation. And I know just having done like thought work through that, that helplessness was translating to me. And I was like neglecting myself. I was had yesterday was the first time I worked out in 6 weeks. Like, and I normally work out every day. And I just haven't been taking care of myself at all with my eating, with my drinking water, with literally anything.
Well, I
And
wouldn't call it that you haven't been taking care of yourself.
okay,
That's
that's true.
stemming from pity.
Yeah.
Here's how I would think of it, because you're going through something that is very hard. Whether you've had a good relationship or not with your mother, I always feel like if you have a great relationship with someone and they get a brain bleed and they're in the hospital from Thanksgiving, you go through your own set of shit. If
Yeah.
you've had a terrible relationship and that parent is suffering and dying, you go through a whole different pile of shit.
Yeah.
So, the way I would frame it probably is I understand why I've been eating. I felt very helpless. And until I could figure out how to not feel helpless, it was always going to be hard for me to take care of me. I knew one way. Because you were taking care of yourself. I think we all do this. We shame emotional eating as if it's some kind of stain on our morality. And it's like, no, emotional eating comes up when we don't have the wherewithal to help ourselves any other way. That
Yeah,
is the
that's
only
true.
reason why it appears.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're getting your feet underneath you now. I mean, just think
Yeah.
about the way I'm telling the story versus the way you're telling the story. You're telling it as if you've been bad since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, kind of.
And
I
I'm
know.
telling it as you went through something really bad, and it makes sense why you ate, and you're
Yeah.
figuring that out now, and it looks like you're actually starting to be able to do other things to take care of yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess I was like, because I had worked through all this stuff, like eating over my mom before all this happened. Like, with I mentioned in the Facebook group, I recently got married, and I was going through all this stuff with snacking and eating all the crunchy things and regulating in that way and whatever. And I've just done all this work to not eat over my mom, and then this happens, and it's like, and then I start eating over my mom, and so I guess I was like, it felt like I was kind of like going backwards or going like I know better, like
No, we
I don't
never
know.
know better. This
Right.
is the thing. Everybody needs to just say this out loud with me. You will be an emotional eater until the day you die.
Yeah.
You create it from the womb, an emotional eater. Like, what do we do with babies when they first come out?
Yeah.
After they wipe them down and slap their ass to get them breathing, what's the next thing that happens with babies when they start crying?
A booby right in their mouth. Give them some.
Titty or nipples? Like
Yeah.
some nipples going in, whether it's
Yeah.
ours or a plastic one or whatever, rubber or whatever.
Yeah.
Because from a young age, we learn food soothes.
Yeah.
It is like the last line of defense in our body's makeup to take care of ourselves. And when it feels suddenly like something new is thrust on us, and this is the thing, I think all of you will always be an emotional eater. You will have periods of life where it comes back, so that because it's like new problem. This has a
Yeah.
new look to it, a new intensity to it. It's like you didn't work on your mom when she didn't have a brain bleed.
Right.
You never worked, like you didn't sit around going like, okay, and I also want to do this work. Just in case
This
she's dying in the hospital for 3 months on end, now I need to do work on that because that might happen.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's true. That's true. Yeah, and I guess I'm like what kind of like popped me out of it is my daughter's 5, and she was kind of like she didn't understand, and the hospital that my mom's in is 5 hours away. So I had been driving back and forth over the like 5 weeks in a row, you know. And she, you know, Christmas came up and I didn't want to be driving around Christmas, and I'm trying to be happy, you know, like Santa's coming and all this stuff. And then her birthday is Wednesday, my daughter's birthday. And it's like, I was kind of realizing, like, I've been so caught up in trying to save my mom, which was my whole issue before, that I've been neglecting myself, my daughter, my husband, like my whole family. And that it kind of like snapped me out of it. What am I even doing? She has the doctors, they're taking care of her, you know, like I literally am helpless with her, but I'm not helpless with me. And like, let me like come back to my reality, I guess. Yeah, so I guess that is all that happened. I'm just like telling myself the story that it's a problem, I guess.
It's
But
not a problem. It was a reaction to a situation that you've never dealt with before.
right. Yeah, and I've lost the 13 pounds before I can do it again.
It
Yeah.
won't be hard.
Right.
You won't
Yeah.
be emotionally eating now. And now, like, this is what I always tell you too, for all of you, is get better. Like, look back on this time and think about for next time. What are the signs that I'm emotionally eating? So that, because the real trick is not to eliminate every situation in life that might trigger emotional eating, because that's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
What we need to do is we want to say, like, and I need to, like, these are the things that were the early warning signs. So that for the next time, if I notice me doing these things, then I can say, like, oh, I notice, like, what do you think was one of your probably smoke signals? And not,
Like, what kind of
don't
popped
just
in
make
my
it the
head?
scale.
Well, when you were talking about signs, I definitely like will sigh. I'll do this like, and then I'll go to the kitchen. It's like this like I'm obviously seeking some type of relief. I'm trying to like exhale something. Yeah, and I'll do
Yeah.
that. I'll kind of like look for something to do around the bedroom, like to clean, and then I like don't want to clean, so then I go to the kitchen. So like I guess those are the signs when I'm looking to be busy, maybe, or.
Well, I think the sigh and ending up in the kitchen is a great one. I think this is also teaching you that when you are, like, I would look at why was I wanting to eat in those moments? Like, most of the time, was it this feeling of helplessness?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if maybe not in that moment, but that's what led to it, or overwhelm, or like it's
Okay,
like I'm the
overwhelm.
oldest of three siblings, and my sister has issues with drugs, and just like my mom did, and my brother, he's kind of like in his own world, like doesn't really want to be bothered with it. And my parents recently divorced last year, so he's not, my dad's not dealing with it, even though he and I are actually really close, but and he's helping me, but it feels like it's all on me and like it's not fair. And
So when you are feeling overwhelmed, okay, what do you think you need most in that moment? Like if when I'm overwhelmed, what would I like to feel?
Relief, like, or like it's not to know that it's gonna be okay or that it's gonna work out or that,
You want to feel safe?
yeah.
Okay. So let me say this. This is why so many of you go wrong when it comes to dealing with your emotional eating. I'm overwhelmed. I'm sighing. Eating will provide safety. Eating will make you feel like, okay, everything's okay. Everything's okay. Because it will take your mind off your stuff. You were trying to solve it by cleaning your bedroom.
Yeah.
Y'all always say, I just try to distract myself. When somebody's like, I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed. I need to feel safe. And y'all are like, where's a toilet?
Yeah,
Where's the laundry? Oh my God, is there a cat box I can change?
like let me change my pillows because I literally did start changing the pillows, like the throw pillows on my bed,
Right.
like.
Like just think about it though. When you're overwhelmed, you're looking for like all of you ask the question. When I'm feeling this way, what am I really seeking? What am I really wanting to feel in that moment? And then say, like, okay, my list of like grand distractions I'm always telling myself I need. If I just had enough tactics and distractions, it's like it kind of goes back to like our drinking person. She wants like a way to drink two drinks. And she's like, well, what I really need to do is drink water at the bar and two drinks at home. And it's like, your marriage is on fire.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out when you should start drinking. So
Yeah.
it's like for you, it's the same thing. It's like when I'm overwhelmed in life and when I look at it, I'm just wanting, like, all I asked you was like, well, tell me about that. And you're just like, I just want to feel like everything's going to be okay. That means I want to know, I want to feel safe. So if I'm going to not eat, I've got to provide safety.
Right. Yeah,
And
not
how am I
distracting.
going to help myself feel safe? Because if I'm just distracting, all I'm going to be doing is fluffing pillows, feeling like nothing's okay. And
Yeah.
then wondering, like, I can't get the pillows fluffed enough. I better go get the Cheetos.
Yeah.
I coached a woman one time a long time ago, and she kept telling me about how she comes home after she puts in a solid, solid day. And when she comes home between like 4 and 6, no one's there. And she's like on the go. She was like on the go literally from 5 a.m. until 4. And she rarely would get to eat and all this other stuff. She'd come home and just, I mean, eat like there was no tomorrow, plus eat dinner. And she wanted to break it. And she was like telling, and I said, well, all right, well, if we're going to break this, what do you think we need to fix? And she said, well, I need something to do during that time. I said, really? Because she kept telling me how tired she was.
Right.
Her answer was she was going to start either mowing her yard or cleaning her toilets. And I
Sounds like
said,
me, yeah.
I don't think that's going to work. I was like, could we have a snack that's planned and lay down because you're tired?
Yeah.
Like, we just want to make sure that we, like, with this, what you can do is you can learn a lot about your emotional eating by just saying,
Yeah.
like, okay, like, I want to know about all this because that's going to help me with this 13 pounds.
Yeah, and
Because
like,
I don't, go ahead.
when I was emotionally eating, like just in general, if I'm looking back, like when I was younger and things like that, it was from feeling like lonely or feeling rejected. And I guess like this is like another flavor of loneliness, like feeling like it's all on me kind of thing. So that actually does like
Does it
that
feel like
tracks.
lonely or does that feel like pressure?
Yeah, like it is pressure, but I mean, but it's more like pressure because it's only me doing it is how it feels. Like,
Yeah, I would separate it out. Like, I think there's two things happening. And I just don't want you to miss one or for the other.
Okay.
There is this thought you have that you think so true, which is it's all on me.
Yeah.
And as someone who is a chronic all on me person, you're singing my song. I wrote a song about it and it's number one on the charts. I always remind myself, you choose to put this on you because it was not like thrust upon you. If you wanted, like, I always remind myself, and I'll just tell you, if you wanted to leave your mother in that hospital and never see her again, the option is there. It does not matter that your sister's a drug addict. It does not matter what's going on with your brother. You choose to take this on.
That's true. Yeah, and like even the long-term care person that I've been like coordinating with, she was like, "Your mom is so lucky to have you because most adult children get too overwhelmed with this and they just leave their parent and they become a ward of the state." So this, and I was like, "Really?" Like in my head, I'm like, "What?"
Right, because you don't choose to be that person. And there's nothing wrong if people do that. You know,
Sure.
I'm not sitting there like, you know, if somebody's like had a bitch ass parent and they're just like, no, I draw the line. I don't like that's not a bad thing. It's just for you, I want you to just remind yourself, I choose this. And it's not the easy road. Like, we can honor, like, this is hard for me because I didn't have an amazing relationship with my mother. And it's hard for me because I have to drive 5 hours. Like, we know the parts that are hard. But when we start saying you know, it's all on me, there's victimhood and pity comes up. And nobody, like, pity makes you want to eat.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and like that's how I've been feeling, like just feeling sorry for myself. Like it shouldn't have to be this way. I shouldn't have to do this, da 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 da. But the truth is that I don't have to do this, and I am choosing to do it. Yeah, that's
And it's also just reality. I always, my mentor teaches this concept that anytime that we say should, it shouldn't have happened or it shouldn't be this way, we are literally arguing with reality.
reality.
Reality wins every time. Like, she's in the hospital, like saying she shouldn't, like, if let's say we were saying she shouldn't be in the hospital. It's like, well, she is. So you arguing with that doesn't help. Or she should have been a better mother. She should have took care of things. My sister shouldn't be on drugs. My brother should be doing these things. Every time we do that, we suffer. Nothing changes because we're literally saying we are describing what is in a way that harms us instead of this is the reality. My brother's not going to help. My sister's not going to help. My mother's in the hospital.
Oops.
I would rather take care of her than confront the version of me who doesn't. And I understand it's hard for me because of these reasons. Then what we don't have is we don't have pity anymore. What we do have is a lot of understanding. We have a lot of compassion for ourselves. And we actually get to feel like a little bit proud. Like, this is not easy, and I'm doing it. Instead of, I'm doing all this and it sucks. And then we don't get to feel proud and we don't get to like honor ourselves. We don't get to do any of that.
That's true. No, that's really helpful. I feel that tracks.
Just remind yourself when you're tired, you probably should be tired. When you're like overwhelmed, say, yeah, this is not an easy situation. So I just want to feel like everything's okay. And sometimes it's just grounding yourself and saying, like, is everything okay right now? I don't know if it'll be okay tomorrow, but like right now, the doctors have her. I think we lost her. Sorry about that. But it's like the doctors have her. She is in a facility. I have done what I can do for today. For a lot of you, when you need to get grounded in safety, especially when a situation feels very uncertain, feels like all the things overwhelming and stuff. Finding what's true in this moment can be very grounding. We just want to narrow our focus because what does our focus want to do? What is it going to be like in a week from now, 3 weeks from now, 4 months from now? Like, we always go, like, I always love how in the moment when we need to make a decision on whether we're going to eat, our brain is just focused on, Well, let's just have a damn good time right now. Forget the future. Who needs the future? But then when we're in a moment of crisis, our brain is like, oh my God, and you know, in 3 years, it'll probably be like this. It's like our brain. This is why I wanted to explain to y'all the metacognition earlier, because we have to know that's how our brains react. Your peace of mind, your ability to cope, your ability to be there for yourself, your ability to take the temperature down so that you aren't stuffing your face all the time, all lies in understanding. My brain is going to, in times of stress, jump to tons of conclusions. My brain, in times of when, like, it's time to do the thing I said I'm going to do, never prioritizes dreams and goals. And when you understand that stuff, I swear to God, it is so easy in those moments to just say, I know what's happening right now. You don't need better thoughts. You don't need anything. You just need to just notice. It's like, okay, I know that's what's happening right now. So now what do I want to do about that? Because you've changed the game. All right, let's see. Who's next? CRB, what time is it? Okay. Y'all know me, I'm terrible with the time. I am not going to get to everybody's questions. After I coach CRB, I will get to as many as I possibly can. If I do not get to your question, either take it to Ask Coaches or take it to the Facebook group and tag me. If you want my opinion, you can take it to Facebook and you can tag me. And I don't know if y'all know, but in our Facebook group, there's an anonymous feature. So if you don't want everybody to know who's like, if you've got a personal question and you don't want the world to know, use anonymous. I will know who it is. I will tell you on the back end because I'm an administrator. I'm the owner of the group. Facebook lets me see all the anonymous people. That does not mean I'm going through and Corinne ain't gonna go through no records and hunt your ass down, but I will see a name. Please don't let that shame you because I don't remember names at all. It ain't like I'm like, oh my God, that girl. Good luck. There's about five members and I'm really good at remembering names. And then after that, I'm like, I gave up. I barely can remember my friends' names. All right, what you need help with today?
So first of all, my name is Carol.
Hi,
So
Carol.
hi. I don't really know what I need coaching on, but I made the decision this morning that I was going to get coached because this is my third time being a member, and I rejoined in August. And I don't know how to say this except for I'm so tired of looking at myself in the mirror with self-loathing, but not being able to get started, like with the weight loss. I've had some very minor
And you
success.
didn't think you knew what you need to get coached on? You just gave me like five things I could legit coach you on. Your
Stop.
problem is not knowing what to get coached on. Your problem is probably going to be like, where should we start?
Maybe that's the problem. So yeah, we're like, yeah.
Let
So
me ask you
obviously,
this.
yes.
What do you think is the biggest problem you've got that you're just like, God, Corinne, if you could just fix this, I think my weight loss would get going.
I am so tired of overeating. And like all the excuses, like tonight's a special dinner, so let's overeat here, or lunch at work. Okay, I'm gonna overeat there. Like, oh, the holidays. Okay, da da da. Like just every little excuse. And I'm just so tired of it. I'm just, but
Those are excuses, or do you
I
think
don't.
those are things that have you're eating for some emotion that you're just not addressing right now?
It could be that. And I
Well, think
remember,
about it.
well, first of all, I just want to say the one thing that I wanted to say is I've done all the diets before. I like you, I competed in bodybuilding, so I know all about like the chicken and broccoli and rice meals or whatever. And I made a decision that I wanted to join the program because I do want to lose weight, but I want to lose it your way because I want to get in touch with this dysfunctioned eating and why I'm not eating properly, like, and why.
What is properly to you? Tell me what properly means to you as of right now. If I was doing it properly, here's what I would be doing tomorrow, Corinne.
I would know when I had had enough so that I would stop eating at enough. And yeah, and I would only eat when I'm hungry.
Ever.
I would love that for the rest of my life. I mean, granted, that's not going to happen because that, nobody's perfect,
Why
but
do
I would.
you so right? So let me ask you, this is very curious. Why do you want something that you know is impossible? You just literally told me,
I
here's what I
did.
want, to never ever eat again unless I'm absolutely hungry, even though I know you can't be perfect with it. So why would you want something you can't have?
Because I do think if I did that consistently most of the time, I would have more success with weight loss.
Okay, but you didn't tell me that. I don't
I
think you
know I
even know
did.
that you, I think you don't even know that you are thinking you want one thing, but you also aren't actively thinking about what reality is. Reality is, I need to get consistent with it as often as I can. But you're telling yourself, I need to only eat when I'm hungry, instead of, I need to get really good at eating when I'm hungry most of the time. Just notice the difference between those two. One opens the door to flexibility. Because there's going to be times you can't eat when you're hungry. And there's going to be times you have to eat before you're hungry. Today was one of mine. Y'all all know Sundays is a day I have to eat before I'm hungry. Otherwise, I'm forced to eat when I would eat the ass end of a rag doll.
Exactly.
So let's do this.
Okay.
I don't think the problem with your weight loss is luncheons, holidays, and what would you say the other one was, where you say the excuses?
I said like, well, we're having like a special dinner tonight.
A
So,
special dinner. All right. I want you to think about 365 days a year. How many special dinners, holidays, and work luncheons are there?
There is less than one a week.
Okay, so the course of a year, we have room for 52 of those. All right. My question is, what do you want to be doing 300, whatever
The
365 minus 52 is? Because you're so focused on like my excuses around these meals. And like we all do this. We want to tackle every problem but the real problem, which is, I need to figure out why I'm just not doing the basics. One reason is I'm expecting them to be perfect. I'm expecting to only eat when I'm hungry. You also said that I would, like, I guess as of tomorrow, you're going to know you're enough. How, like, here's a good question for you. How are you going to find your enough?
I'm probably going to have to experiment to actually find my true enough and like try some different things. Like the
You're gonna have to
halftime method
overeat.
or
I mean, the only way to find enough for most of us is
is to
to overeat a
overeat.
bunch of meals until we found it. But that is not your problem. Your problem is, I don't think you realize that in order for you to lose weight, you gotta know how to overeat and not talk to yourself like an asshole about it.
Maybe also.
Like for all of you, I really think this is like the crux of it. For especially those of you who are just like, I'm not starting, I'm not doing the things, blah, blah, blah. It almost always comes down to you think that the basics should turn on like a faucet. Like Corinne, I heard it. I should just be able to do it. And between you and finding enough is like stage one is a lot of little, like, it's not even mistakes. It's a lot of experimentation. If you're not used to stopping at enough, you're not supposed to know what it is in the beginning. Like, this is not a black and white calorie thing. This is literally like, I'm gonna have to eat meals and I'm gonna have to pay attention to my body. And for the next few weeks, I'm going to notice sometimes I stop too soon. Good to know. I'm going to try a little more food the next time. A lot of times I stop way too late. So, do I need to decide? Did I stop late? Because I don't know what it feels like just yet. So, I've got to keep tinkering with amounts until I dial that in. And then I'm going to hit the part where I'm going to realize I'm not stopping at enough because I just don't want to.
Right.
And now is the next phase of weight loss. Why don't I want to? That's interesting. I wonder why, when I know I came on the call and welled up with Corinne about how bad I want to lose weight, it means so much to me that there are times in the moment something's happening that prevents me from following through.
Right.
That means something's going on in that moment that's way more important to myself than weight loss. It doesn't mean I don't care. It doesn't mean I can't do this. It doesn't mean anything. It means I haven't discovered why, in some moments of my eating life, something matters more to solve than weight loss, because weight loss is long term. I'm going to give y'all, I swear to God, I was not going to do this. I'm going to develop this class. We are going to have this class. Swear to God. It's another version of, I know what I should do, and I'm just not doing it. And I like literally, I was on a tear yesterday. All those new people were just bitching about it. I have a video that y'all already have access to. I think this one is better, 1,000 times better. We're going to give it to you. I'm not, nobody right in to help scout. Is anybody from my freaking team here today? I guarantee you, usually like Lori Clary at least is here. Can somebody from my team put in the chat right now, I am here, Corinne. I will remind you of this. Oh, hell no. Ain't nobody here. Let me, I will say this. I'm not, Vern. Thank you, Vern. I'm not throwing them under the bus. We have all worked our asses off all week. I am sure they are lying in a pool somewhere recovering. No one's still going. I still got 2 more days to go. Vern, remind me, or just tell B Bailey. Bailey will know this, Vern. The call that we did yesterday, I want to give it to the members. I want to edit out the part where I start talking about joining the membership because they're all here. I don't want them to get confused. And I need to film a very quick intro to it, so that I can tell people this was a recording. And then that particular class, I've been wanting to build a program around it anyway. It's good enough for me to build it out. But it will, the one thing I want y'all to hear about it is it really explains the things that stop you and what's stopping you. So, like when your brain is needing to stop it enough and you know you should, or let's not even say that, like you know. You want to start the basics, right? And you've been stuck trying to do it, correct? Okay. So you know better, but between you and taking action is something that prevents you. And a lot of times that is fear that you have not diagnosed yet. That is like your brain knows that. If you start doing hunger and enough, you're not going to do it right. And if you don't do it right, you're going to beat yourself up. And so your brain is like, why would we do that? I mean, that just sounds like a real shitty deal. Because our brains treat when we beat ourselves up, like if you're like all the time hamming on it. You feel like you're in danger. So, like the basics will feel dangerous because it's now going to ask you to put yourself into harm's way, your own harm's way. And the brain is really weird because it treats danger, the feeling of danger, emotional danger, and actual physical danger are treated exactly the same. Your brain thinks that if you do the basics and you mess up and you beat yourself up over it, well, now we're in danger. That's going to hurt. And it thinks like, yeah, that's like deciding to go drunk driving. Like it thinks of it as exactly the same thing. And that is why it's so hard for some of us to stop. So I want to give y'all this video just to, I think it just, it always helps when you understand things. This is how it's working. This is how my brain is working. So We need to decide for you actively. I'm going to start practicing hunger and enough.
Right.
What are all the things I'm most afraid of with that? Tell me.
Probably, well, yeah. So first of all of the overeats that I'm going to go through to get there. And
So I'm
then
afraid I'll overeat.
I'll overeat. Then
And why
also,
are you afraid of that?
because that's not the direction I want to be going.
But why are you afraid of that direction? Because that direction is not harmful.
Right, but if I do it consistently or regularly, then I'll just keep gaining weight.
Right, so I'm
I'm
afraid I'll
afraid,
gain weight.
right. I'm afraid of undereating because I feel like I get hungry really fast as it is. And so that just, I hate
Wait a
being
minute.
hungry.
Okay, so I'm afraid I'll undereat, but I'm afraid I'll be hungry.
I'm afraid I'll be hungry or get hungry, but too
Okay, so
soon.
not undereating.
Yeah, not undereating like calorie wise, but like not eating to enough. Does that make sense? Like,
Just really describe it to me. So I'm
so
afraid I'll
that,
get
okay, so just
hungry.
for example, let's say I decide to serve myself only half my dinner, but then 2 hours later, I'm actually really hungry again, but I'm like, oh, do I really want to eat like right before I go to bed, or do I just want to like grin and bear it? Like, but I also don't want that to happen during the day when I'm just trying to like work and get through the day.
So you're
So,
just afraid of being hungry and
yeah.
not just eating when you get hungry?
Yeah. Because, well, yeah, it's not always a good, you can't always eat because you're like on a call or a meeting or something like that. So it's a balance of eating enough to stay satisfied
How
for
do you
long
handle
enough.
that now? How do you stay out of hunger all the time now with meetings and stuff?
I try to eat enough. I do. So, and then, well, and during the day, I'm usually fine. Breakfast and lunch, especially if I'm at the office, that's fine. It's all in the evening.
Oh, so you're not really worried about meetings. You just keep saying that, even though that's
Well,
not a...
I do get hungry sometimes, but I just eat around the schedule. I mean, it is what it
But
is.
that's not a problem, or that is a problem.
Well, I don't like getting hungry. I really don't.
I know, but it doesn't seem like when you sometimes get hungry at work that that's doing something bad. It
Well,
feels
this.
like the reason why I'm asking is because you're so afraid you're going to get hungry. And yet, you're getting hungry at times at work and handling it just fine. And I don't think you've
I
made that
think
connection
so.
yet.
At work, I can say, okay, I can eat in an hour or something like that, or I can have a snack after the meeting, or I'm going to go home and I'm going to have dinner.
So you're navigating hunger.
Right. I think the problem is getting hungry at night, like after I've eaten dinner,
So
will
I'm
tend to
afraid
take
I'll
me
get.
into a landslide of snacks.
Okay, that's more accurate. You're not afraid of hunger, okay? This is why I keep asking you. I'm afraid I'll get hungry at night and end up in a landslide of snacks, is what you're afraid of.
Yeah.
Because it's not
Overindulging.
really hunger. You're afraid you're going to overeat.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's just important for you to know. Because you keep saying, I don't like hunger. And we need to put that down. I don't like
I
hunger
don't
because,
like hunger. Yeah.
right. And guess what? To
Nobody
lose
does.
weight,
You
you know what
have
you
to be
gotta
hungry
love?
sometimes.
Yeah. You know what else?
What?
To live a long life, you have to get hungry sometimes. And I don't think it's that you, I don't think you've realized you don't mind hunger. You just don't like to get hungry at night in case it forces an overeat.
Right.
Let me ask you this. If you got hungry at night, and you were able to just be like, oh, okay, well, I'm hungry. I probably didn't, since I'm finding my enough and I didn't hit it at dinner, like I probably underate a little there. I'm gonna have a Greek yogurt and blueberries because I'm hungry. Now, would you be terrified of hunger? Would you be like, oh my God, hunger? Ah! Or would you just be like, oh, I know how to solve it because I'm hungry?
No, and maybe that's something I need to work around or like have a protocol that like if I get hungry at night, I know I can have this snack that will be satisfied. Like I need to plan in advance for that.
Yeah. That would be all it would take. And
Right.
then that way, the part of your brain that's terrified of overeats and stuff, you have now said, I've planned for you.
Right.
You don't have to be afraid. This doesn't have to turn into a landslide of snacks. It's normal to get hungry at night at times, especially when you're trying to figure out if you've had enough,
Right.
because you will miss it. There's times now. I mean, I'm probably the enough queen. And then every now and then, I'll eat something for dinner, and it will be like a new thing that I've not ate or whatever, and I've had maybe a more stressful day, a more active day. And I'm like laying in bed at 9 o'clock and my stomach is growling.
Right.
And I know Corinne, she's gonna go and eat something. I'm not gonna lay there and be like, I shouldn't eat. Maybe I should go clean a toilet or fluff some pillows. Now, I would love for all of you to do this exercise. I did this with my business membership yesterday, and it totally, I always tell my business members, y'all are just like the weight loss girls. The same shit, different side, just different thing. All right. And I did this work this morning for myself because I really know I have got some things I want to do in 2026. And the only way I'm going to be able to do them is I have got to learn the opposites, how to love and be the opposite side of everything I'm most afraid of. So for you, you've got to figure out how do I love? Like you have overeats that are going to be coming. Now you've got to become someone in 2026 who loves finding overeating. You love unwinding it. You love exploring it. You love asking the coaches about it. You love the process of digging into what's going on here. Is this a tactical thing? Is this an emotional thing? Like you have to be a lover of your overeats because right now you do not love them at all. You also have to love, like you said, I'll gain weight. So what do you think is the opposite? We don't have to love gaining weight. But what do you think you're going to have to love this year when you know that you're terrified of gaining weight?
Well, I think I just need to learn to love myself at any weight. And that
Yeah.
trust and cheer
Go ahead.
my, or like just encourage myself with, I'm still figuring this out. Maybe I'll make some progress, but not progress every week or something like that, And
Well,
just.
you've got to learn to love. Like when we're terrified that we're going to gain weight, then the opposite side is what you said. It's like, I have to learn to love who I am because your weight is not who you are. It just isn't. I know that we have like, and I'm not saying I think we should all lose weight for a million reasons. If you want to feel sexier and that's what you like and all the things, I don't have any problems with that. But the problem becomes losing weight because you hate yourself. And we get lost. It's like all of you are not your weight. You are who you are. And then there is over here your weight that we work on. But it's not who you are. Like, y'all are mothers, y'all are grandmothers, y'all are women, you are good workers. You're like think about the totality of you. Because what ends up happening is that if you start making all of this about, like, I would even go through and I would look at, because, like, here's what I make mean. That if I gain weight, it means these things about me. And you need to challenge them. I used to always think that gaining weight meant that I was lazy. I may have been
You're
250,
not lazy.
but lazy was never my problem. And like I had to remind myself, it's like, Corinne, you weigh 250 for these reasons. You eat when you feel like you didn't do enough. You're not overweight because you are lazy. And if we don't pull those things out, do you see how hard it is to lose weight? All right, now let's take for this year, I'll get hungry at night and end up in the smacks. What kind of person do you have to be next year? Like, think about, I've got to love what about this? Because right now you're terrified of this.
To me, I guess, like, I feel like I gotta love that I don't actually have to be hungry. I can go get a snack.
Yeah. You
And I
gotta
have
love
ample
listening to people.
selection.
Yeah, you gotta love becoming the kind of person who listens to her needs, doesn't shut them down.
Right.
You've got to love trusting yourself because right now you don't. Like, that's who you've got to become this next year. Because how are you going to lose weight if you don't become someone who actually says, you know what? I'm going to become someone who trusts herself. And someone who trusts themselves doesn't mean they do it right all the time. I make lots of mistakes, but I really trust that when I want to do something, I'm either going to do it or I have died trying to do it. At the end, I'm always really proud of like this last year, this is kind of probably falls flat to a lot of you, but it was really important to me to do chin-ups this year. I mean, I don't know that I've ever spent an entire year on one small personal goal like that. And I got to seven. And it would have been
Awesome.
real easy for me to be like, oh, you put it out on social and you didn't do it. And I was sitting there thinking like, I loved trying all year long. I loved that I never, like, this is one of the first times ever that I had a personal goal that I didn't give up on. I love that I did get stronger through it. I didn't get to where I wanted. I love that I have the opportunity to keep going or shelf it. Like, I love that I was flexible with that. Like, that's what I want you thinking about is like this year, I trust myself because I know that even if things don't work out, I will reason with myself. And then that means I'm free to now try all kinds of things because there's no terrible consequence to my failures anymore. The worst thing that happens in failure for me now is disappointment. And disappointment's not bad. Devastation. Humiliation and like all the things that y'all actually feel, y'all think you're disappointed. I'm like, no, we are disappointed. Like, I get disappointed when I hit a red light when I'm in a rush. Like, we roll with disappointment all the time. When all of you that are afraid of being disappointed in something, really ask yourself, what am I really afraid of? Because if it's just disappointment, we're probably willing to gamble on that. It's just like you would buy a lottery ticket knowing you're likely to lose. You're going to be disappointed when it's not your numbers, but you do it. So it's like thinking about, I must not be just being disappointed in myself. I must be making this way bigger than it is. And I would love to know that because until I fix that, what's going to happen? Nothing. I will be too scared to try. So what do you think you're going to do after this call?
Well, I have a lot to think about. I do think I need to talk about think about who I am going to become, but I feel like also an important part of everything we've talked about is that I need to make sure that I'm set up to emotionally take care of myself. So
Yes.
that I'm not looking for a way to emotionally satisfy myself or soothe myself with food, because, when you're eating at the end of a long day at work, that's because I'm just trying to soothe myself, and that's what I'm looking for. So there's got to be something else. So I need to take care of myself during the day so that at night it's not a big plate of food.
I would do like what we've been talking about, and I would just spend this next week listening to yourself at work. Like, look for all the little ways that you're talking to yourself and start saying, I like, what is something you say often to yourself at work that's probably needing you to soothe at night?
I'm worried about what my boss is going to think about something I did. You know, like, oh, what's Michelle going to think? You know?
So you just say, like, I notice I'm worrying what my boss is going to think. And I would just ask myself, like, what do I think they're going to think?
Right.
And see what comes up. Because some of us are default, like, I wonder what I'm unconsciously thinking they're going to think. Because we don't worry about somebody's opinion if they're going to have an amazing one. We worry about people's opinions when we're secretly deep down thinking, and they're going to think this, and they're going to think this, and they're going to think this. And then that's when you can start really getting to the root of, like, I notice, what'd you say her name was, Michelle? I notice that I'm thinking that Michelle won't like this. I notice that I'm thinking that Michelle will think I'm not doing a good job. I notice that Michelle will think whatever. And you, that will feel better than, I bet she thinks blah, blah, blah. She's probably going to think this. And then challenge yourself. So often, especially when it's at work, like for you, how often in the last year has Michelle came to you and said, highly disappointed in your work?
Like twice, maybe.
Maybe. And did she say, I'm highly disappointed in your work?
No, and it's, well, it may not be those exact words, but she, how do I say, she talks me out of it or up to where she wanted me to be usually. You know, like,
Okay,
you
so she
didn't quite
wasn't
hit the
disappointed.
mark with this one. So what else could you do? I need you to do this, XYZ, that
Okay.
kind of, you know.
So you can tell yourself, like, Michelle is never disappointed in my work. Michelle is a boss who will always tell me how I can
Improve.
perform well in my job. Michelle will never let me get off track. Like, notice how that feels different, because that's probably really true. And then when I asked, like, when was she highly disappointed? Like, you jumped to like twice. And then you're like, well, she really wasn't disappointed. She's literally just coaching me up. And I'm like, man, there's a lot of women here who would love to have that boss. They have
Well,
bosses that give them no feedback, you know?
yeah, the thing I was thinking the whole time was I did a lot of productivity coaching and high performance coaching, and I had some really great success at work doing that. And I'm like, I really need to go back to those things so that during the day I'm taking care of myself, which that means, you know, preventing Michelle from even having to coach me in my work because I've already hit the mark with her and I'm done and I can go home for the day and I know, you know.
Or you could fall in love with getting feedback from your bosses for the rest of your life. You could fall in love with the idea of, I'm always going to be the kind of worker that produces so much, I'm going to have to get feedback. Like, think about it. It's like your solution is, let me go do all this stuff so that I can perform perfect for Michelle and then I'll never have to get feedback.
I don't want any
Instead of,
confrontation.
yeah, and it's not even a comp in Michelle's land, it's not even a confrontation. It's called doing business. It's called high performance coaching. And you're taking it as a confrontation. So it's like, this year, I'm going to learn to love what it really means to be a high performer, because high performers, they want feedback. Like, I'm a high performer and I'm constantly, constantly looking for problems all the time.
I believe you.
I do. Like, I'm always asking Chris too. Like, I was like, hey, can you look at this that I just did? Can you tell me what's wrong with it before I send this out? Before I commit this, like we'll record videos and I'll say, like, all right, before we say that we're gonna publish this, tell me what was wrong with it so I can make it better. Like, you really, if you want to be a high performer, that means I seek feedback. I want people to tell me how I can be better, because high performers, it's never enough. They love it. They're like next level all the time, endless level. I'm gonna be the boss of the boss of the boss. All right.
All
You
right,
get
I gotta
on
let you
it.
go. I
I think
will.
you just listen to yourself this week. That is your main thing. And then just know, like let the basics be easy for you. Don't put so much pressure on them. Okay. All right.
I'll do my
Thank you.
best. Thank you.
All
Thanks.
righty.
Bye.
Bye. All right. That is it. Let's get out of here. And I always have to figure this out. Yeah. All right. Not for our newbies, but for our oldies. There's another call that's starting in 5 minutes, but this will not be for the newbies. This is a very different topic. So I prefer y'all to go check your email because at 2 o'clock, if you just joined us, like literally just joined us last few days, your 2 o'clock email should be coming out. I would much rather you get your ducks in a row over there than to come to one more call. Okay. All right. For the rest of you, if you're staying, I'll see you in 5 minutes. Bye, y'all.